Supervisors, I apologize for us being a few minutes late. We did meet in executive session before today's meeting to discuss land and personnel issues. If everyone would please join me in rising for the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic which stands by me, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Jill, may I please the roll call?
Member Rick Zamuda?
Here.
Member Susan Quirt?
Here.
Member Matt Weir?
Here.
Member Justin Engel?
Here.
Chairman Mark Moyer?
Here. I'd like to remind the public that although posted within the meeting room, that it is and has been the policy of Derry Township to take record all public meetings for the purpose of providing accurate minutes. First item on the agenda is the adoption of the minutes, and I'll entertain a motion to approve the August 28, 2018 public hearing minutes.
So moved.
Moved by Ms. Court. I'll second those. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed, those minutes are approved unanimously. Also seeking motion to approve the August 28th Board of Supervisors meeting minutes. So moved by Mr. Engel. Second by Mr. Zamuda. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, those minutes are approved unanimously. We as a board have the distinct honor of the next item on our agenda is Susan. The next item on the agenda is to invite members of the public to address the Board of Supervisors by coming to the podium. If you would be so kind as to identify yourself by stating your name and your address. And if you would also be so kind as to try to limit your meetings, your remarks for the 3 minutes or less, would be greatly appreciated. So anybody desiring to come forward, please do so. Thank you.
My standard question, have you reached out yet to the school or to the Hearst Entertainment Resorts or the state representative to discuss possible revenue generator with increasing the amusement tax? Secondly, reviewing the Derry Township School District Board, their bylaws and things, I noticed that they also are dedicated to community service, dedicating their time to provide guidance to the school and improve our children's education. And they do that without receiving a salary. So a way that I think that the board, if they want to generate some revenue, and it seems like you're all behind this rec center, that you go ahead and defer your salaries while you're on the board and turn that into fundraising for the recreation center. I think that would show your intent. So if the school board can do it, I don't see why Derry Township supervisors can't do the same thing. That way, it's continuous giving back to the community. And third, is there any way that somebody can review looking at the tax structure in Derry Township in relation to population? We have a lot of senior citizens that are here, and I'm hearing them coming and talking to me that they can't absorb another tax increase. Is there a possibility that we can put a moratorium or a cap on the amount of tax a senior citizen retired with a limited amount of income be considered? I think that would keep your people in their homes and help them pay the taxes. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Gamble.
Hello. My name is Calista Orley, and I stand here with my friends who attend Hershey Middle School to show our support for the new community center. I have attended most of the meetings concerning the community center and have seen how much work has gone into planning the new facility. I would like to thank all the supervisors for making this possible. Thank you.
Thank you. Would anyone else like to address the supervisors?
Hi, Stephanie D. 9, 16 on the drive, Hershey.
I was just wondering if we could address things after the meeting, like ask some questions that we learned during the meeting, instead of just having questions now, or the statements now.
Well, we do have a second visitor public comment section after we complete the agenda items.
Oh, great. Okay.
So if you're getting a question, may get answered during the meeting, or you can ask it later, or stick around and talk to us after the meeting.
Afterwards.
Thank you.
Hello, my name is Tracy Brown. I'm here to talk to you about the new community center. I had previously sent you guys an email, and I just, for transparency purposes, wanted to say it publicly. Organized recreation in Derry Township began with the development of Milton Hershey's model town. He believed recreation to be as vital to our lives as housing and utilities. Hershey in recent years has been viewed as a community of comfortable income and means, affluent. But what we don't talk about is the wide income disparity. It is especially ignored from a political viewpoint. I'm just speculating, but maybe it's because the poor can't afford to make donations to campaigns or can't afford to attend $100 head fundraisers. It doesn't mean that we pretend that they don't exist here. According to statistics cited on the Cocoa Pack's website, in 2004, 4% of children in Derry Township School District received free or reduced lunches. In 2015, that number climbed to 19%. One in five children in 2015 received free or reduced lunches. There are areas within Derry Township where poverty rates reach 40%. Cocoa Pack is a program that helps supplement families who are food insecure in the district. Breaking down official statistics from the Department of Education for 2017-2018, the elementary school, 22% overall, received free or reduced lunches. Middle school, 21%. High school, 21%. The Hershey Food Bank serves community members in need of food, necessities, and other services. The numbers of people served on a monthly basis fluctuate based on need. Some people rely on the services on a very short-term basis and some more regularly. An average of 446 families were served on a monthly basis in 2017. That's a total of 5,352 different families in 2017. 15,292 individuals. They also help provide emergency rental and utility assistance to 56 families, 206 individuals. These services from the Hershey Food Bank and Cocoa Pack are only for residents in our community. These numbers don't seem to be going down anytime soon, however booming the economy may appear to those who have money to afford stock or 401ks. The occupational privilege tax to work in Hershey, school tax, property tax, and whatever other taxes people are subjected to, plus utilities, housing, insurance, medical bills, people still don't have enough money for food. How will an average of 21% of children in the township benefit from the community center if families cannot afford necessities like food? I really hope that the end game here is not to weed out and drive out the poor, elderly, disabled, and otherwise fixed income out of this community. I don't think that's the legacy that this board wants. I've heard about the cost of building the community center and the tax implications, but what I haven't heard is the affordability of programs. Currently, the programs are relatively reasonable rates and comparable to other communities, as is the daily admission to the pool. Will these programs continue to be affordable? Have you considered income-based programming subsidy? If we want to build a new community center that is for the whole community, it needs to be for all, not just the elite and the haves. The country club fulfills that role for people who like exclusivity. I hope that all constituents and community members are considered in these plans and programs, the elderly, disabled, fixed income otherwise, and lower income families. If we want to advertise as an inclusive community and diverse, I want to see action that will back up this stance. It would be a real slap in the face to have a beautiful center that doesn't truly benefit all. Thank you.
Brian Link, 230 West Aretha. Thank you first for all of your service. It's a thankless job, especially for a citizen, one year citizens like me. So the community center, I want to focus on one issue tonight, and it's really the timing. I would hope the board takes a moment to reflect on the schedule. Right now, it's proposed for final design to be complete in the spring, with a bid and construction start, according to the infographic, in the spring as well. Typically, procurement on a project this size, for bidding, to give contractors time to review the contract documents and prepare a responsive bid, usually up 2 months at least. And that would really put us into the summer. And then for the glazing, the building materials, especially the structural steel on the job, that usually takes a few weeks for a fabricator to come online. They have to prepare shop drawings, which are above and beyond the structure drawings that the architect and engineer come up with. And then that doesn't include fabrication. So that whole process could eat away the half of the 12 months that's been dedicated to construction of this project. The other issue is the current steel tariffs have driven steel prices up 30%. Steel prices on this job, and there's not detailed cost estimates, but it's about 10%. So that's a significant impact to the overall cost. It also, even though this job doesn't have federal funds as far as I know, so there won't be a U.S. steel requirement. Foreign steel right now is very difficult to procure, which would also drive the schedule. And, I'm glad that the swimmers are here because, I think the senior center was a driver for the schedule. I reviewed their facilities, and they don't have huge facility demands. There's probably empty commercial space, or Hirsch Company or the township probably has space that they could occupy temporarily. There's always modular office space. But the pools could be down for, 1 to 2 years if the schedule were to slip that much. On many projects I'm involved in, phasing is an important consideration. So I think, delaying the project to really understand the funding, to understand the schedule risk would be helpful. And it also gives the township the opportunity to bid it at an opportune time to phase the project. You could bid it in the summer, and then once a contractor is brought on board, demolition could start right away, site work could start right away on the outdoor pool, and then you could carry indoor swimming through. These are sort of considerations that I think deserve some more time, and really it would give the township, the supervisor, some more time to understand the funding situation, what's available through grants and fundraising, and hopefully, one lastly, I know I'm up to my 3 minutes, hopefully also it could go to a referendum. So really, it's 9/11, I think it's appropriate time to really say, let the democratic process work out. I know there's been a lot of people on committees who have spent 4 years now planning this center, but if you volunteer your time for a rec center, it's really a self-selecting committee. So I think the community deserves an opportunity to voice their opinion. And with the funding lined up, maybe the opinions will be different. But thank you. I guess.
Thank you, sir. Does anyone else wish to address the board at this time? Hearing none, getting back to the agenda item that I did skip ahead on, it is a privilege and an honor to have Laura identify those individuals who are identified for recognition from the Hershey Public Library for the Summer Reading Program, Top Reader Program. And I have the certificates here, but if you'd be so kind.
I'll just read something out and then you can come down and look at the certificates.
Sure. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Summer reading programs help maintain reading abilities through the busy summer months and also reinforce reading as a beneficial emotional and educational outlet. This year, we're happy to honor our township's top readers by bringing them here tonight for special recognition. I'm going to read the honorees and their reading minutes aloud, and then I would appreciate if everyone could come to the middle for a photo with their certificates. First, we have India Franklin in first grade with 4,607 minutes.
Dylan Doe from in sixth grade with 4,740 minutes. And our top reader is Anna Wang in fifth grade with 5,634 minutes. So would everyone please come to the front to take a photo? And Mr. Chairman, if you could come down to the front.
Congratulations on winning so
well.
Congratulations. You've done a great job.
All right, we're going to stand together and get a photo.
And
he's not here. Okay. So I'll hold him that one. All right. Do you want to turn your paper around so you can see it?
Yeah.
All right. One, two, three. Thank you,
guys. Thank you, Lacey.
Great job. Our next item on the agenda is a presentation of board supervisors in the community by TFM Financial Advisors. Jill, would you care to introduce
your presenter? The township's been working with PFM for 2.5 years on a multi-year strategic financial plan. They are here tonight to make a presentation on an overview of the plan. Scott, are you making the presentation? Or? Okay. If you hit the left and right arrows, it'll take you forward.
Okay.
Once it comes down. It's coming on now.
Good to be back again. Thanks, Jill, for the intro. I think while we go to page one, I believe you all should have a hard copy in front of you as well to follow along. But yeah, as Jill mentioned, we've been engaged now with the township for a couple of years on doing some multi-range planning, multi-year planning, which is great that the township has embraced that. We encourage all of our clients to not only look at when they're planning for the future, not only look at the upcoming year or the current year they're in, but also look ahead, whether it's 3 years, 5 years, whatever the case may be. And again, we're very pleased that the township has embraced that concept to help with a lot of stuff that you're grappling with here over the next couple of years. So just a couple key points on page two. You know, in an effort to obviously plan for the future, you have a lot of things going on. And just importantly, provide the transparency to the residents. We've been working on some various initiatives. And starting back in 2016, when we were helping the township kind of look at changing some structural issues with its budget, kind of restructuring the general fund and the capital fund, and that worked out real well. I think we've seen the progress and success from those initiatives. And then most recently, we were reinitiated or reengaged in 2017 to do a lot of the planning and the modeling to assist you in some of your big decisions you've already had and that you will be faced with here in the future. So kind of why are we here? Why are you doing it all? I think which is absolutely great is Derry Township's already a great place to live, but you're trying to maintain and maybe even better the quality of life here in the township for the residents and for the employers that want to establish themselves in the township. So again, we would love to see more of our clients kind of institute that high quality of life mentality and attitude and try to implement some of the various initiatives that you're all considering. And so to facilitate this goal of maintaining a high quality of life, obviously quite a few initiatives that you've embarked on, including recreation, economic development, and other various infrastructure needs such as roads and the utility systems. And so while you're kind of working with all those different initiatives and planning for the future and being transparent, and now you're in the midst of a management transition, kind of been steady for a very long time, and so we're also here to help kind of bridge that gap in between during this transition period with the financial and modeling, and again, planning for the future, which also at the bottom, you know, that's why it's so important that you have embraced the long-range planning tool, and then ultimately an action plan to make sure that these initiatives are all done kind of very wisely and not overburdening the taxpayers and residents here in the township. So some of these examples of the initiatives, obviously there's lots more, but we're looking at recreational opportunities. Obviously the township is a partnership with other entities here in the township. The big one that we're all focused on at the moment, the community center. But other recreational opportunities, which are very unique here at Dairy Township. We've got the park, the Giant Center, the theater, and the Hershey Story Museum, all attractions that are bringing people downtown, bringing people into the township. Quality infrastructure, again, we see this time and time again across the state and across the nation. If you don't have the infrastructure, the roads and the other necessary infrastructure, a lot of times you won't be able to bring in the residents, you won't be able to bring in the new employers into the township. So the township's been doing a great job planning for that. Economic development, again, I think the township's doing a wonderful job being able to bring in developers to the township. Obviously some big projects in the horizon with the West End development and quite a few others. And good access to good quality employers. And then lastly, here, high quality education system. Obviously, Dairy Township School District, a very sought after school district. So all these various initiatives, kind of create this high quality of life that the township has embraced. So while we're kind of looking at those initiatives, helping the township plan for the future, there's obviously cost with the various initiatives that you're looking at. We're going to have this broken out. On the left-hand side, we have the community center. Those cost estimates are, at this time, the timing is more certain, the amounts are more certain, even though it hasn't gone to bid yet, I think there's just been a lot of planning done to give us good estimates to be able to work with. So you kind of go below there in the left. If the community center is built as currently contemplated, again, it hasn't been bid, and with the capital campaign being successful, we're looking at a real estate, potential tax, real estate tax increase of about 0.57 mils. Now, I think the township has been pretty vocal also that you're looking in the yellow at various ways to lower that potential tax increase through grants and other potential funding sources as well. So, again, that's a big part of our planning model is obviously the rec center cost. And that's going to continue to evolve as this process continues. But again, those are a little bit more certain. Then we have our other initiatives on the right-hand side where those cost estimates and timing are, I guess I'll say, more uncertain. I mean, you want to do all these things, but, again, we have a seven-year plan that we're working with, and not all of those are concrete at the moment and kind of need more fleshing out. So in the orange box, the possibility of those future millage increases that are unrelated to the community center, they're based on a lot of different assumptions. Dollar amount, timing, if you're going to need to do certain initiatives, maybe not, maybe some of those could be moved later down in the years that we won't really know until we get a little bit further along. But that's what this planning tool is meant to do, is to kind of give us a pathway to have these kind of discussions to be able to maybe move some of these projects around or maybe move one initiative up further in time or move one back. Again, just gives you that tool. But I think the bottom right-hand box in red, I think that's probably the most important, where, every year, this model is not meant to be a static model. It's not meant to just go on the shelf and no one look at it or no one utilize it. We want this to be, a very interactive model, a lot of transparency, a lot of discussion with us and the administration and the board going along. And I think we're all very cognizant that we want to do everything in our power to limit any kind of tax increases that are necessary, but still maintaining, obviously, a very strong budget for the township. So, I think, again, very important where the township, again, has embraced this long-range modeling. I think it's proven pretty successful so far to help you make some decisions. There are costs with these various initiatives you're looking at. We're obviously very focused on the community center, but we're also
focused on these other initiatives out in the future as well, and that's what this tool allows you to kind of get a better handle on. So the next section here, if we go to page 6, as far as, again, just going back to the kind of the basics or the primer of a planning model, I mean, these numbers are not set in stone. They're subject to change. They're going to change. I mean, I can guarantee you these numbers are going to change all around, and we'll have an example or two later in this presentation, just based on some real fresh information. So, you know, a couple of these points, again, just reiterate some of the basics here, but we want to kind of be clear to everybody that what we presented back in June, and we'll get to the next slide here pretty shortly, is that's not saying this is exactly what's going to happen a year from now, 3 years from now, 5 years from now. It's not necessarily a prediction of what's going to happen financially in the township. Again, this is a planning tool. And for instance, on the third point on this slide here, you know, typically you start out these projections kind of in a methodical manner where you take a conservative approach, where a lot of times you start out with expenses growing higher than revenues. And that's the way the base model is set up right now. I mean, for instance, we're on average, say, growing expenses maybe at 3% or even a little bit greater, but on the revenue side, maybe 1% or 2%, somewhere around there. So obviously when you have expenses growing higher than revenues, you're going to see that disconnect. But again, we've been doing this a very long time, and I think that's a good place to at least start, so then we can start managing the budget more going forward, looking at the current year, looking at next year, and then looking out in the wider spectrum. But again, I think the goal always here at the last point, where the last resort is always to actually raise the real estate taxes. So page 7, as far as what's already been done, you know, again, we've done this multi-year financial plan looking at both the general fund and the capital funds. Third point here, as far as just a planning tool, these are projections, not actual results. So I think the way we left the meeting, public meeting in June, was, you know, here's what the baseline model looks like, just to kind of a few changes, a few what-if scenarios built into that baseline model. But then we said we'd be back once the budget season starts to kick in. And here we are at the budget season, looking at the 2019, we're about ready to begin that. So we thought it'd be a good time just to sort of dust this back off again and let you know we'll be back for more. But that's sort of our mantra, is to at least look at this on an annual basis, and it usually coincides well with when you're preparing your upcoming budget year. So on page 8, as far as the results of step 1 that we'll call, that was presented again back in June, up at the first kind of first header there, as far as the general fund, kind of looking at that, that was basically a balanced budget for 2018. We had some future expenses expected to grow faster than the revenues that I already mentioned. There were some new potential revenues from the new development in this in our long-range model. The capital fund did have a deficit budget for 2018. Obviously, quite a few projects that were in the capital fund, the big one being the community center. And that's, again, what we're focused on pretty heavily at the moment, is the capital fund initiatives. But I think the third point, kind of the bottom third of this slide, is very important. So based on that model that we presented back in June, that was, again, what we'll sort of call our baseline model, that did not include any initiatives related to making the current operations more efficient. So again, that's why we use the term baseline initiative. I mean, those other, or baseline model, those other initiatives, they come with quite a bit of due diligence and more discussion with all of us as far as what's palatable, what's not palatable here within the township. And many of those were not filled into that baseline model. And so kind of the second from the bottom, that's kind of the second main point. From our presentation back in June, we were showing the possibility of future millage increases to cover the general fund and capital funds through 2025, ranging from about 0.93 to about 1.73 of additional mills. Now that did include the community center borrowing in those numbers. But again, to be very clear, if the efficiencies are implemented, this range could be significantly lower. So we didn't want to kind of underestimate anything. We didn't want to overestimate. We just kind of wanted to get us all thinking. Again, that's the whole point of the planning model, is that status quo is not the right way to look at things in the future. We got to be looking at ways to improve efficiencies, whether it's on the revenue side or expenditure side, And, you know, a lot of work needs to get done to try to get those potential millage increases down even further, or maybe even enough. I mean, I think that's, again, our goal, is to kind of look at various things and put different initiatives on the table such that we get those down. You know, we could have gone into some of our meetings with, you know, kind of right out of the gates, showing no millage increases necessary, say, other than the rec center. We didn't feel that was fair. It's not necessarily being honest. We wanted to sort of show that status quo scenario and say, okay, if you did nothing, this is what it looks like. But I think we all agreed doing nothing is not an option. We want to make sure that we're looking at all the options to keep the tax rates affordable here in the township. So some recent updates. Again, this is an evolving model. It's going to be constantly changing. And so, you know, here just in the past week or so, received some updates to the planning model, one being the ladder replacement. That price came in a little bit higher than what was in the model before. But then the second point regarding economic development, there was kind of a new forecast done by an outside entity. And with those new numbers, those actually looked a little bit better than what we had as far as revenues being generated than what we had in our model previously. So those are just, again, some things that we're always going to be getting fresh information from the township to plug into the model, and obviously it's going to change the way things look. So just with those couple of changes over the past week or so, the millage equivalency of the deficits came down by about 0.1 mils. Again, we expect that to evolve even further as we're ready to work on the upcoming budget season. So then we have our baseline model, so now it's okay, what do we want to do as far as initiatives? So page 11 looks at the potential start for what we call step two, which is where we would bring in our management and consulting group. They do this for a lot of other municipalities and cities and townships and states around the country, where we look at a lot of different initiatives that will want to come and have these discussions with you. What makes sense? I mean, we obviously want to talk to all the department heads and other employees throughout the township. And, you know, there's lots of initiatives that we can take a look at. Some may make sense for the township, some just may not make sense, and that's where we need to have good collaboration to see what ultimately makes sense here. But we have some ideas right out of the gates that I think, you know, kind of starting with the capital fund, which Ben and I have a real good handle on. You know, I think we have some initiatives very early on to get those potential increases in the capital fund down to maybe next to nothing pretty quickly. Again, some pretty simple initiatives to undertake on the general fund side. You know, there, again, we're going to have to roll up our sleeve a little bit more and bring in our strategic consulting group to help us. But again, I think we have some good ideas that we can put on the table to help really manage the path going forward, with always the goal of being very cognizant of keeping the taxes down to a very affordable level. So then lastly, you know, again, I keep kind of saying it's an evolving model, but that's the purpose of this. And kind of on the right-hand side where you're looking at that wheel, you know, things are always changing. We have on the yellow the new fire truck. You have the 2019 budget that you're going to be doing. Obviously, that's going to be changing the model. New things are going to be coming up, which we're going to want to put in. We have our consulting initiatives that our folks are going to want to put on the table. You have other variables outside the township control. And you know, I guess in a couple of weeks, we're going to have some updated community center figures as well that we'll want to plug into the model to see what that does. But ultimately, you know, kind of on the bottom left, to, you know, promote effective fiscal responsible management, which we're all about, and I think everyone in this room is all about, you always have to be kind of looking at how things look in the township under the status quo scenario, and how does it look like by kind of being state-of-the-art, being forward-thinking, and implementing and looking at these various initiatives. And that's what we want to try to bring to the table and partner with the township.
Any questions for either Scott or Ben?
Scott, we get a lot of questions from residents about the millage increase on page 40 of 0.576. But a lot of them seem to be hung up on the millage rates you have on page 8 of 0.1 or 1.73. Could you explain that to everyone here?
Sure, and absolutely. So, when we go back to the prior page 4, where we're just looking at the 0.576. So we always tackle things in a couple different ways. first sort of at the micro level, just looking at the community center, kind of separating everything out of the mix, just solely looking at the community center, that sort of if no other initiatives were put on the table to reduce those costs, assuming the bids come in about where expected, say $32 million, capital campaign money comes in at roughly $5 million over a multi-year period, the necessary millage increase or the millage equivalency of covering the debt service to fund the rec center, again, that's equivalent to about 0.576 mils.
And that's not all at one time. You know, that could be over a three-year period is how we have it in right now.
So we got, again, to kind of be cognizant of the taxpayers here, don't want to hit everything in 1 year, kind of have that three-year phase. Now, again, that's not including any additional grants that the township may be able to receive or any other funding alternatives or funding sources that the township may be able to receive for this project. So, you know, I think here we're trying to be transparent and I guess call it more or less the worst case scenario, that if none of this other stuff comes to fruition, the millage increase necessary or the millage equivalency of funding the debt service for the rec center is about 0.576 mils. Now, back to page eight, the model that we shared, that baseline model that we shared back in June, you know, again, both looking at capital funds, which is where a lot of these initiatives are coming from, and the general fund. We included no other initiatives, very few other initiatives, revenue enhancements, expenditure reduction, in that baseline model. So
just like an example, that would be whatever expenditures you had in the 2018 budget, all we did was simply grow them. We didn't change them at all. So if it was $10 million for this, it grew a certain percentage. It wasn't changed. None of the operations or anything status quo was changed. It just grew.
I think it exactly. And so that's just assuming the status quo scenario where that's where we kind of had that range. Again, with none of those other initiatives built into that model, that we might see, you know, that was generating somewhere between a 0.93 and 1.73 mills equivalency. Again, that was inclusive of the rec center. But again, to be extremely clear, we don't want anyone to grab on to any kind of false precision where this is exactly what's going to happen to the residents here in Derry County. That's not the purpose of this model at all.
Another example would be the township has a capital plan. So in the capital fund, that's where the capital plan is paid for. The township does a lot of pay-go capital, so it pays as it's going. There might be an opportunity to finance some of that on a more longer term, which would decrease the hit to the budget and therefore reduce the millage that's needed to cover it. Now, we'd have to study that more in depth, but that's a possibility. That's one of the things that we batted around. Is there a better way to take care of some of these capital projects? Maybe you take the first year and you throw it in with the borrowing for the rec center. And so that first year, you don't take as big of a hit. I think there's 800,000 new capital projects. That's just one example of something that you can do. And we have a couple other ideas for the capital fund where we could really help decrease that millage. Maybe it's you can't do certain capital projects in that year. You know, you have to tighten up the belt a little bit that year and you have to push it to the next year. You know, people don't like to hear that. And obviously people need new things and the employees need things to run efficient operations here, but maybe it can't be afforded in that year. So that's the kind of things that we need to look at and some of the ideas that can help lessen that 0.93, 1.73 range that we've shown.
And also want to be clear that, you know, we do these kind of modeling exercises for a lot of our clients across the state and across the country. And some of the most fiscally sound entities that we deal with, and Derry Township's one of those. Some of those are even higher rates, say AAA credits, which are the most financial sound entities out there. When you look out, and their base case models as well, out 3 years, 5 years, 7 years, they're going to show very similar results. They're going to show these kind of deficits where millage increases may be necessary. But again, this is a planning tool. So because you have the foresight to do this, now you say, okay, well, in year three or year four, if we just go with the status quo, you know, we're going to have that kind of millage increase, but that's not what we're about here. We're going to start making some of these initiatives happen now or next year to reduce that or eliminate that. So the results here that we're seeing in Derry Township with what we call the status quo scenario, the baseline model, is very, very similar. You know, again, I'll give you all credit for being very transparent with this process. A lot of our clients do not do that. These long-range planning models are internal models where the administration, the staff work with us doing this, and later down the road are when a lot of these results become public. You're doing this, you know, you're being very transparent with it. You're kind of showing sort of as things are evolving what it looks like. And that's perfectly fine, but we just don't want anyone to grab onto this false precision. So I think it is fair to say that the rec center, kind of the worst case scenario is, again, to fund that debt service at about 0.57 mils. Anything after that, you know, again, it's a lot of planning that we're all going to do, some easy decisions to maybe cut expenses or increase revenues, and some hard decisions are all going to be on the table to hopefully get that additional millage rate down further, or again, maybe even to zero. I don't know if that's helpful.
Yeah, thanks.
And another thing to add on to that, you know, if you do the 0.576 based over a couple of years, as you get new development, you're going to get new revenue because that 0.576 is not going to be charged to other places as well that aren't currently in the model. So, you know, if you raise taxes anything, it's going to affect all the West End development that we have in the model and some of the other development and increase revenue that way as well. So, you know, you change one thing and 10 things could change in the model. It's just that's how it works. Mm-hmm. So.
Any other questions or comments?
Yeah, just one, Scott, I want to challenge you a little bit. When you called the status quo, but the blanket multipliers, so in other words, the multipliers that you applied to expenses in the future were not based on previous increases. They were based on assumptions, right?
Some were averages of, say, maybe a five-year average of some of your trends. Some were just expectations for the future. So kind of a combination.
Right. So some of them, for instance, healthcare costs, I think you put 7% increases across the board from now. So basically you're saying it'll double in the next 7 years. So that's an example. I don't know that it's really always status quo. It was projections in terms of and applying blanket multipliers to look at, you know, some sort of future performance or projecting future performance.
Right.
The other point I want to make is just, and it's a question. So if taxes would go up like 0.576 to fund the community center, and that was done over 3 years, if the township tightens its belt and makes difficult decisions, could it avoid all additional tax increases over the next 5 to 7 years?
I think the short answer is it's possible.
Yes, okay.
I do.
And the point is, Matt made this comment early in this process, maybe probably a year ago, about tightening our belt. So this is a big project. Many of us believe it needs to happen. That you either close the doors or you do a big project. We can debate how big the project is, but regardless, it's a big project.
Mm-hmm.
The point is, many of us believe it needs to be done as the right thing for the community, but it also requires that we tighten our belt. So the point is, we look forward to working with you guys to help us show us how to tighten our belt, how to save on expenses, and how to avoid those future tax increases as much as possible.
I mean, I kind of look at it in some ways like your own personal budget. That, you know, in a year where maybe you want to do, you know, a bigger vacation, a bigger family vacation, well, then you're going to probably have to tighten the belt on some of your other sort of normal expenses as well. I sort of view that kind of similar to what's going on here. I mean, I do my own personal budgeting model as well. I'm a big fan of, obviously, governmental-type budgeting models. That's exactly what it is. I mean, when you want to take on these initiatives, there's going to be some years where you're going to you know, kind of incur these larger costs, not your status quo-type costs. So in those years that happen, yeah, you're clearly going to have to tighten the belt on some other issues. And Ben made a good point that in, say, the next 2 years or so, as the community center is being developed, you're biting off a lot at that point in time, both from a monetary standpoint and a manpower standpoint as well. So maybe during those 2 years, you do reduce some of your other capital initiatives that you have in your budget and delay those for, you know, until year three. And we have to look at what can be delayed and what can't, but that's, you know, some of the capital budget tightening that we're talking about. And again, you have... There's only so much you can manage here at the township kind of take on at one point in time. And so it might be reasonable to, hey, let's move some of this stuff out for a couple of years. It's important, but I think we can get by. We might not have to replace some carpet in one of the buildings for, you know, 2 more years. We should be fine. Maybe it might go a year longer than its useful life, but it only is going to hurt anyone and there's no health hazards. to doing it. So those are some of the items that we need to look at. But yeah, I think with the proper planning, which you are doing, and looking out in the future, I think we can get this down to a no effect.
And again, it is typical. So I mean, it's typical the expenses grow faster than revenues in these models. You know, when the 2019 budget happens, you're going to get firmer numbers. So you're going to go out and say, okay, what's our healthcare cost going to be? You're going to talk to the broker, however you do your healthcare here. They might come back and say, 3% growth, 4% growth. That number changed then. We had it at 7, now it's at 3. So as you tighten things up, when you're doing that year's budget, that's going to change the whole model too. And that's what a municipality does every year. I mean, you know, you come in and you say, wow, we're starting out, we have a $300,000 budget, we got to tighten a couple things up. We got to maybe push that to the next year. We got to reduce this by 10%. I mean, that's typically what happens in a budget cycle to balance that budget, not just at the municipal level, but at the state and federal level too.
And we've had some very good success stories across the state, across the country, and other situations like this. You know, whether we're looking at an entity like you all, where you're already very fiscally sound, but you're going to need to tighten the belt, and we put practical initiatives on the table. We've had the kind of the other end of the spectrum where we had some very, very financially distressed entities, and we put various initiatives on the table that were practical, and they worked on that. And, you know, things turned around. Again, whether it was a AAA credit, which is the best you can get, we've done some of that locally here, and improved their operations. Even though you're great, you can still get even better. And for those that are at the other end of the spectrum that have a lot of room to grow, we put those initiatives on the table, and they got much more healthy. The key is, I think, putting on the table practical solutions, not ones that we know you just can't achieve for one reason or another. We want the ones you can actually implement. And then, you know, we want to see some kind of accountability for actually doing it. We don't want our report just to get put on the shelf, collect a lot of dust, and no one really looks at it again. We want that to be pulled out every year. Okay, now we're getting budget season. We implemented those 5 initiatives last year. Let's look at these other 3 now for the next year. I mean, you don't want to bite off more than you can chew in any one year, so you got to kind of space things out. And that's kind of the point of these models, of these exercises, of working in collaboration with putting these initiatives on the table.
I think it's important to echo too. I mean, obviously you both and your firm looks at this very frequently. We look at it frequently. We try to bring it to the public as often as we can. And even though we're looking at a projected 0.576 millage increase, because we look at this all the time, is those funds hopefully become available and become a reality for the project. And because that increase would be incremental, we're not going to be saying, well, that's the number for sure. I mean, there might be an increment of that 0.576 in year one. Then we realize funds and hopefully are able to then not increase in year 2.
Exactly.
I think this tool is just a terrific vehicle for all of us and the public included to understand how things can change so frequently.
And then, I mean, that's also a great point, and we appreciate those comments. But yeah, we could come in and really say, you know, it's in your best interest to put the 0.576 mils in place in year one, but we don't think that's the right thing to do. Kind of, there's ways to structure this, there's ways to phase it in, such that, your point exactly, maybe that third piece in year 3, maybe some things come to fruition, and you don't need that third implementation, and you know, you can go that year without it. And that's great. So advise us at that time to learn more, get more information, you know, maybe see more fruits of the labor come through. And so, because financially, if you did put the increase all in year one, that would produce better financial results right out of the gate, because you're increasing that millage rate higher on day one. But that's not what we're advocating, for a lot of different reasons, not only for your own budget, but also for the residents here of the township as well.
Scott, I want to dovetail off of what Justin mentioned and the question that Matt touched upon in terms of the second half of that equation on page 4 of your presentation, and this page as well, regarding the 1.73 mil possible increase. And I appreciate your comment about we don't want false precision, but I do want to ask you a little bit about the possibility of no tax increase beyond the 0.56 mils for the rec center, community center. Have you or Ben personally interviewed our department heads today in developing the capital plan?
No, not really. No.
Okay. And you've assisted us on creating that 5-year capital spending plan. And I have to say, it's been a tremendously valuable tool. It's a great way to break out what our department heads think they will actually need, not want, but need in the next 3, 5, 7 years down the road so that we can use it as a planning tool. And the reason I asked you whether you'd spoken to the department heads or not is because our department heads, according to what I understand from the capital spending plan that I've taken a look at here, indicates that Public Works, for example, is probably going to need to replace five or so dump trucks in the next couple of years, a Turco collection box. Our police department is going to need multiple vehicle leases. Over the upcoming years, they're going to need multiple mobile forensic vehicle, mobile radios, and a slate roof. Our community development is going to need an SUV replacement. Our finance department is going to need accounting software. Our parks and rec are going to need lawnmowers, fencing replacement, tennis court resurfacing, Coons Pavilion replacement. Our library is going to need a power floor replacement at some point, computer upgrades and replacements for all our department heads. And I think we're going to need 2 new fire trucks, not just one. So my point in all this is, although we certainly hope for a zero tax increase based upon all the other services we have to offer our residents above and beyond the community center, that you're not saying that our department heads don't know what they need or what they're going to need in the future, right?
Oh, not at all, no.
Okay,
no.
So you're just saying that possibly, and you're not saying they're not, Public Works, for example, isn't going to need the 5 dump trucks, and you're not saying our libraries are going to need the power floor, right?
Definitely.
There might be a better way to structure it.
Exactly.
To hit the budget less. What we're saying.
Exactly. So while we may push off or massage the timing of these requirements to these capital improvements, you're not saying we're not going to need them.
That's right, because I think it's important to note that what the list that we're working with, which we, although we didn't talk to the department heads themselves, we talked to the manager and some others,
right,
that it's not a wish list. It is the needs. And
right.
So absolutely we understand those need to happen, but yeah, it just comes down to,
right,
do you need maybe... Is it the most prudent to say, for example, get all those 5 trucks in 1 year, or
right,
can you space them out over 2 years?
How we do it. So when we talk about belt tightening, I just don't want to confuse the issue of us not saying we don't need these critical pieces of infrastructure,
right,
for each of our department heads. It just means that we may attempt to figure out a better way to finance this to have a lesser financial impact on the tax increases.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, and just to be clear, I mean, your department heads, they're the experts. You know, you guys, they're all the experts. They know what they need. We have no idea what they need. We just want to find the best way to finance it and to have it affect the budget as little as possible.
All right.
That's our
plan. I just wanted to just clarify that we're not negating these capital needs. It's just you're hopefully going to be able to guide us on the most efficient way to procure these requirements in the future.
And one thing that Ben mentioned before, which I think, you know, can move the needle quite a bit, is there's been historically a fair amount of implementing what I'll call the pay-go with your capital projects, where instead of financing them, you just basically pay cash in that year. And in some instances going forward, that still may be the right model, but in other instances, it may make more sense to finance some of those purchases over some period of time, 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, whatever the useful life may be. So that's something that, again, we want to kind of talk more about.
And you do some of that now.
Yeah,
not
sure.
Like you don't do that now. Some
right.
of that, you know, some of the dump trucks are over 3 or 5 years.
Right.
I forget off the top of my head, but
leases
there are some of
right purchases.
So
you
may want to look
there
at
might
that.
Be some more
yeah.
opportunity to do it even more efficiently.
Right, and that's why I appreciate page number 11, that you were intellectually honest in terms of putting in the point or 1.73 millage increase, because we also have to consider not just how much community center we can afford, but how much community center we can afford in the context of operating the rest of the township.
That's right.
And so I greatly appreciate you including that information in there as well, because it's the bottom line that's going to affect our taxpayers, not just the bottom line for the community center.
Absolutely. I mean, you would be doing the residents a very big disservice if you were not looking at the budget as a whole here as you're planning for the community center. I mean, you need to be
right.
looking at the whole picture. Not just the whole picture this year or next year, but a couple years out as well, which is exactly what you're doing.
Okay.
That's
so
like
I,
the whole purpose
I appreciate,
of the
I appreciate that as well. Thank you.
But part and parcel of that is making it clear that the ultimate outcome will be based on future conditions. Absolutely. This could go a lot of different directions.
Absolutely. And that's, again, where it's key. It's absolutely critical to make sure this stays a living, breathing model and document so that it is utilized at least on an annual basis, if not more frequently. I mean, we prefer more frequently because of all the decisions that you're undertaking and to make sure that you are effectively planning for the future. Because, again, I cannot stress enough that when we go back to some of our most financially sound clients where they did one of these models maybe 5 years ago, and it was predicting or showing, you know, large deficits in the future. Well, we get to this point in time now, and we look back at that model, you know, they're running surpluses. It's, okay, they come back and say, thanks for that tool. That was an eye-opener for us that allowed us to kind of really dive into this, and we made a lot of different changes to our budgeting techniques and what kind of some of our priorities. And 5 years ago, you were showing big deficits out here. Now today, we're standing here, and we got nice surpluses. So that's the point of that tool, and that's what we expect here at Derry Township as well. We're not saying these deficits that are shown in the baseline model or the status quo model are going to come to fruition. It's just, hey, you need to look at this on a constant
basis. Make decisions.
Yeah. Yeah. And just a general comment, I think I feel much more confident having you guys on board as we go through a managerial change. So, I mean, that's pretty big. I mean, Jim's been here for a long time, but I've invited every year, and I feel much more confident that you guys are sort of intimately involved in our budget and I can help us through that transition.
Well, we appreciate that. Thank you.
Thank you, too. I really appreciate your presentation.
Sure. Thank you.
All right. Next item on the agenda is consideration of releasing the remaining performance security and entering the maintenance security period for lot number one of the preliminary and final subdivision and land development plan for 777 Middletown Road, plat number 1216. Chuck?
This is a housekeeping item. I think you've done well in summarizing what it is.
All right. With that, I'll make a motion that the township release the remaining balance of $67,735.56 of the performance security held as Reliance Bank letter of credit number 072715A for lot number 1, plat 1216, conditional on maintenance security in the amount of $11,694.90 being provided in an acceptable form and the standard maintenance security agreement being executed. That was a mouthful. Do I have a second? Ms. Court seconds that. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, and that motion carries unanimously. I think I lost my voice on that. Next item on the agenda is authorization to conduct the 71st annual Hershey Halloween Parade on Tuesday, October 16, 2018, at 7 p.m. with a severe weather makeup on Wednesday, October 17, at 7 p.m.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We plan to stage at the Hershey Recreation Center as we have the past few years, as well as the Memorial Day Parade. We'll be following the same route. We'll stage at the Recreation Center, head north on Cocoa Avenue, make an immediate left onto Elm, follow Elm to Ridge, and Ridge to Chocolate, and Chocolate back to Cocoa, and the parade would come back to the Recreation Center. Once again, the date would be October 16th at 7 p.m., and the rain date would be Wednesday the 17th at 7 p.m. And we ask for authorization to hold that event.
Any questions or comments? Again, I'll make my annual inquiry about interlopers.
We have it covered.
I was traumatized by that.
Yes, they were.
So, but yeah, we have it covered. We did it very well. I'll entertain the motion that we authorize the 70th annual Halloween parade to be conducted on Tuesday, October 16, 2018 at 7 p.m. with severe weather makeup for Wednesday, October 17, 2018 at 7 p.m. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Zamuda. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, and that motion carries unanimously. The next item on the agenda is establishing a date and time for trick-or-treat. Chief?
Mr. Chairman, each year, Derry Township coordinates trick-or-treat night for the children in our community and for those who wish to visit and participate as well. This year, changing it up a little bit. recommending two dates to consider. You only get to pick one. So option one would be trick-or-treat take place on Thursday, October 25th, which is the Thursday before Halloween, 6 to 8 p.m. This is normally the date that the Dauphin County Chiefs of Police Association would normally recommend. They usually recommend a date for everybody to try to hold trick-or-treat on the same night within Dauphin County. Option two would be to have trick-or-treat take place on Halloween night. Tradition from some time back, and that would also be from 6 to 8 p.m. Just to give you an idea of what our position is from the police department side of things, we can staff either one as far as personnel to be out and about and make sure things are safe. As far as one or the other, I don't think we have a preference. The Thursday one, the Thursday before, you always have it on a Thursday, so you always have it on that same date. If you do Halloween night, obviously it changes each year to a different day of the week. That's about the only difference I would see. I know there was some talk in past years of if everybody holds it on the same day, that way you don't have bleed over from one jurisdiction into another, and you're getting a bunch of people from outside your jurisdiction trick-or-treating inside. But I don't really think that's that big of an issue. I think we can work with whichever day you want to pick. Each year when we do that Thursday before, I usually get some feedback either through email, phone calls, or social media of holding it on the traditional night of Halloween. So I thought I'd kind of give that option if the board wants to take it.
Thank you. Any discussion, questions, or comments?
Chief, it used to be on Halloween night in the correct?
When I was a little kid.
Yeah.
that long ago.
It wasn't that long ago. I'm thinking maybe around 8 to 10 years ago. I'm not sure what the purpose of switching it to that Thursday before was. I don't know if that's just a solid date that, it was always the same day every year, and it would always be on a Thursday. I don't know if that was the onus for that switch, but I knew it was several years back it was still on Halloween.
In Lebanon County, there's Palmyra, Mount Gretna.
They're all on Halloween.
They're all on Halloween, yeah. And Borough of Humboldt Town is thinking about switching.
They're concerned. They want to, obviously, they want to see what we do as well.
I know this is a matter of utmost importance.
It is.
But I'm just saying I'm old school. Personally, I prefer the 31st Halloween itself, but, it's obviously up to the board majority.
Garrett, you have no preference whatsoever.
No, we can staff either one. There's no preference on our part. We've been trying to do a little bit more community-based outreach during trick-or-treat, we'll staff personnel and try to have some people out at some locations interacting with the kids and handing out candy and so forth.
Well, at the risk of being shot down, I'm going to make a
pun. And in the interest of time, I'm going to vote for whatever you say.
Oh, I'm going to make a motion that we designate and establish October 31st, 2018, between the hours of 6 and 8 p.m., as the date and time for the Halloween trick-or-treat activities for Gary Township for 2018.
I'm happily second
that. Ms. Court, happily second
that. Can we make that permanent until changed further down the road?
Permanently until changed further down the road.
Then it's not permanent.
Well.
No, but I understood what you're saying. I didn't want it to be
flip-flop.
This year,
yeah,
and then the 31st, and then the year. Because I think people like to have some consistency. Yeah. Yeah.
So, but anyhow, for 2018, the motion is for 2018. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Okay. It's unanimous. October 31st today. The next item on the agenda is a request by the Hershey Entertainment and Resorts Company to hold the 9th annual Hershey Half Marathon on Sunday, October 21st, 2018 at 7:30 a.m. Chief?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is the 9th annual Hershey Half Marathon. We have Matt Bennett from Hershey Entertainment and Resorts Security here with us tonight for any questions. This is still the same course that's been run in the past. There are some state roadways affected, local roadways affected, Milton Hershey campus. All will be manned by our personnel and outside personnel from other departments to make sure the race runs smoothly and we don't have any vehicle interference with the runners. They are aware of our policy as far as reimbursement for our personnel, and they also actually take care of reimbursing outside personnel as well to this agency. So they definitely do their part on trying to make everything work. Are there any questions for Matt Bennett while he's here? He waited patiently through all the previous stuff, so if there's any questions for him. This does benefit the Children's Miracle Network, Penn State Hershey Children's Hospital, so it is a very worthwhile charity that the proceeds go to.
Very well. I'll move that the request over the 9th Annual Hershey Marathon on Sunday, October 21st, 2018, starting at 7:30 a.m. be approved. I'll entertain a second.
Second
by Mr. Zamudo. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, and that motion carries unanimously. Next item on the agenda is correspondence and board and committee information. I'll start to my left. Mr. Zamudo.
Aye.
Mr.
Ward. I'm too sick. On August 29th, we had a stormwater and landscape planning meeting with several staff members of the township and HRG to discuss something called an MPDES, Extension National Pollution Discharge and Elimination System, which all townships in Pennsylvania and the nation are coming under. So we just wanted to get some direction from everyone and some ideas about how we can meet our permit issues and where we should go with the landscaping and stormwater issues in the township into the future. And we will keep working on those issues in coordination with the DTMA stormwater department.
I have nothing. Susan?
Just quickly a reminder, tomorrow is the first Hershey All Things Diversity session for this season coming up. So just check the weekly emails and you can find out the free session. I get a light supper and some really insightful conversation, and that happens now through May.
Thanks. Just
nothing.
Thank you. Police
Department. Nothing.
Fire Department.
Just a quick update for our August falls was 89. That's all I have for this evening.
Thank you. Public Works.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just one quick thing. We started getting delivery of our salt today, so we're going to fill our building, even though I don't want to think about that this time. But we are getting it in, so we'll be filled soon.
Any beaches this year?
No beaches this year. Not yet that I know of.
Public Library.
Nothing to mention. Thank you.
Is there?
I have nothing either. Thank you.
Just a real quick comment. I believe it was Tracy mentioned it during public comment about fee structures and identifying folks that may not be able to participate in programs and offerings. So I just wanted to assure you that we are definitely looking at that. If it's okay with the board, I'd like to have you part of the process of working with Cocoa Packs and start to identify families and individuals that might need some help. So I'd be happy to work with you on that.
Cool, my pleasure.
Thank you,
Matt. Mr. Moore,
nothing to add.
Chuck,
nothing.
Moore?
Oh, my gosh.
We've identified the culprit.
Always. Just a quick note that our Downtown Hershey Association board meeting was supposed to be last night, has been rescheduled to October 1st, 5:30, lower level of the Hershey story. And also just a reminder that we're getting ready to kick off two road projects, Chocolate Avenue and also 322. We have information on the website and in the e-news. Finally, we will be holding another Bike and Pedestrian Alliance meeting on Wednesday, October 17th. The Halloween parade will not be that night, and it will be at the fire department. So thanks to the fire department for allowing us to hold that there.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lynn. Joe, anything?
Nothing, thank you.
Very well. I'll make a motion to approve accounts payable in the amount of $257,967.65 and payroll in the amount of $342,193.05. Do I have a second?
Second.
Ms. Court seconded. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, and accounts payable and payroll is approved unanimously. Now it's time for the second visitor and public comment section. Anyone wishing to address the Board of Supervisors, if you approach the podium, identify yourself by stating your name and your address. And if you'd be so kind as to try to limit your remarks to 3 minutes or less, it would be greatly appreciated.
Good evening. My name is Evan Diaki, resident of 184 Jacobs Creek Drive here in Hershey. I am here to inquire about the status update regarding the expansion of the Kids Club for after-school and before-school care. I noticed that wasn't addressed during the meeting this evening and was wondering if there's been an update there.
We are working on it, and we will provide an update as soon as there is information to be updated. That's all I can tell you.
Okay. Just to put in my pitch again, Mr. Moyer, right, this program is one that is in high demand within the township. So 72% of school-age children have parents, have all parents working within the household, and yet our current program only offers the capacity of 3% of our current student enrollment at the Hershey Primary Elementary. The current program is operated at a zero balance, requiring zero taxpayer assistance, no subsidy from the taxpayers. I would imagine that expanding this program could be done in the same fashion. And after having listened this evening, I did a little bit of math as we were going and listening to the financial assessment that was done by the gentleman from PFM. The current millage rate, according to the township, is 1.9881 mils for our current property tax. A 0.93 increase, as forecasted on the low end, would be close to 50% increase in our real estate property tax. And a 1.73 increase on the high end could be upwards of 87 to 90% increase to our current property tax rate. So just to put that in perspective for everyone, I'm sure the board is well aware, but that was the math that I had to do that was not included in the presentation this evening.
Can I correct you very quickly?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
I think what we learned today is that 0.93 does not represent the bottom, and that it could be less than that.
Absolutely. Yeah. According to their presentation that was put forth. I thought that
and they referenced what they said in June.
Okay.
But they in other words, that bottom could be lower. Just
wanted to confirm.
It's not, and keep in mind, I'm not correcting you. I'm trying to say to the public.
Thank you, sir.
It could be lower than that point.
No, hey, just based on the numbers that were provided,
this evening,
that is the math that I had done. It just helps for me to keep it in perspective, the cost that would be associated with this. And so perhaps as we continue to review the expansion of the Kids Club, I might propose that being a potential revenue generator, as the current tuition that is taken in, the revenue from the program currently offsets the cost, perhaps expanding the cost, or excuse me, expanding the program and increasing the tuition such that it is a revenue driver for the township, might help to offset some of the anticipated future costs the township might incur, while at the same time providing the service that is in high demand. So, thank you,
thank you. Your diligence and minute attention to detail is indeed appreciated.
Okay, Rich Gamble again. I just want to clarify my earlier comment. I appreciate everything you do as serving on the board. I'm sure you have an interest, dedication to do this. But at the time, like I said, I talked to school board members, and they don't get reimbursed at all for nothing. So maybe we should take that same model. And I don't know, maybe you could post it in the next summer. I almost had a son, like, posted this story about the pool. What is it we're actually spending on your expenses as far as supervisors? And would you be willing to continue dedicating your service and give that money back towards the general needs of the community? And very serious about the capping the amount of tax for senior citizens. I think, as is identified, our numbers are going up every day with people that can't afford to buy lunches for their kids. So that should be a red flag right there that we're not as rich as people think we are. So I appreciate that very much. And really consider giving back to the community. Thank you.
So, Mr. Gamble, I'm lighting. So just to explain to the public, I think that some people may think that we make salary here. So it's probably approximately $2,500 a year that we each make. I personally have committed more than that to the community center project. So I think that it's the amount of time that these individuals work and the passion that they put into this job. It's a lot more than people think. And I just want to make sure you're talking about our salary, and I just want to make sure that we're clear about what the salary is.
Every little bit helps. That next year is your dedication. Just like we're here, I'm here every week. I'm dedicated to learn.
And we appreciate that. Thank you.
Good evening. Lindsay Drew, 73 Carousel Circle. Just one quick comment about the salary or the fees you receive. I just want to clarify, as the school board director, that myself, that we're actually prohibited by state education code. So it's not something that one is taking versus the other. I also want to mention about the kids club. I use kids club as a single, one adult family mom. That resource has been just fantastic to have as an option, because I have a third grader and there are not many options out there. There was a comment made in a previous meeting when the kids club was brought up, and it was in reference to the township is not in business, in the daycare business. And I just want to make a statement as a mom to an eight-year-old that there aren't other options. Daycares, for the most part, stop after kindergarten, or they become completely unaffordable. So having the recreation centers program available before and after school and in the summer has been imperative for me as a working parent. So thank you for that, and I do hope to see it expand and be able to reach more population, because I know the morning when registration opens, we're all waiting at 8 o'clock to hit the registration button. My other comments are in regard to the community center project, as well as just general tax increases. And there are some questions and some suggestions more than anything. But I would encourage residents to really understand the numbers. There's a lot of things being thrown around, and I know myself, even just viewing social media comments sometimes, it can be really overwhelming, because you hear dollar amounts and mills and increases and percentages, and until you really dive in and understand. And I actually personally took the time last week to break it down and do the calculation on what my property value would be, as well as what the $250,000 average that you've used in projections, would be. And it was a very different eye-opening experience for me, because you're hearing percentages and numbers, and while I am, not excited about paying more, it's not the one-time hit that I think that there's sometimes the misperception there. And I was actually surprised to see that in that projection model, there are a couple of years where there is projected to be zero increase in taxes. So I would just encourage folks to, really plug that in and understand it for themselves, and how it directly does that or would affect their tax. Related to the senior citizen affordability, question would be, does the township receive reporting of the tax rebate participation program that's offered by the PA Department of Revenue? Because I would be interested to see what the participation rate is for that currently. And then, can information be included on the township website for senior citizens who are not currently taking advantage of that program? There's up to $650 annual tax rebate figure that's currently offered, and I feel maybe underutilized. And then also, I would encourage, as you're going through the funding process, to have discussions with legislators about advancing legislation. As I started looking at this and wondering, I noticed in Philadelphia, they have a senior tax freeze program that's currently being implemented. to try and offset and allow seniors to stay in their homes and have where they reside to stay affordable. And there's current legislation sitting in the Finance Committee in the Pennsylvania State Senate that has not moved in significantly long time that addresses a program just like that for all other types of municipalities and townships. So I would ask that you engage our other elected officials for help in that as you move forward in the process. And then if you would also be able to list on the website the other capital projects that you have in the plan. I wasn't able to locate that myself personally, and I think that that helps to understand and see, you know, if it's a truck for, you know, one area of the township versus the community center, so that folks can really understand that 10% of the township's overall budget goes towards parks and recreation, and so when you look at the cost of replacing a community center, when Parks and Rec owns that large of a piece of the budget, it's going to be a larger cost to do that. And as a 20-plus year resident of the township who spent many days as a teenager on the steps at the plaza, it hasn't changed a bit and is in dire need. And I think sometimes folks haven't been there in a long time and don't see that they're operating with a dinosaur right now. And the option, as Mr. Engel said earlier, we either don't have a community center or we do. And while I think there are a lot of things we need to take a look at and be mindful of so as not to exclude any residents because of cost, either in membership or in tax increase, I am in complete support of the project because I think that we have an obligation to, as a community, to offer that to our residents and to continue the legacy from the gift that we were given by Mr. Hershey. So I thank you for your service, and I know that this is an amazing task or project, and a lot of time goes into it. And folks aren't always nice to you. So thank you for what you do, and I hope that everyone will take time to really dive in and understand and be involved, active participants in what we're doing here. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Thanks for your service as well. And I think that's a good idea. We haven't already mentioned on our website, just maybe a friendly reminder of the tax rebate available to our older adults. So I don't know how or what.
Did we mention the homestead rebate too?
I'm not sure. I don't believe so. But I don't know. Food for thought. Maybe we can incorporate that somewhere on our website. Just a friendly reminder of that availability. Anyone else?
Good evening. How are you guys today?
Tom DiPanatis. I live at 345 Elm Avenue in Hershey. I'm a lifelong resident. Lived here all of my 52 years. Just a few questions trying to clarify my own eyes. The term debt service, I believe that to mean that it's the term and principal and interest payments over that term to pay down the amount borrowed. Is that correct?
Generally speaking, that's my understanding.
Okay. All right. So as I look through the your website on page 12, the breakdown of the estimated costs, I'm confused by about a quarter of the way down the page, it says bond financing proceeds. So estimated additional debt service, 20 years at $1.15 million. Beside it, it has a number of $27 million. 20 years at $1.15 million comes $23 million. I just want to know where the $4 million comes from.
So I think what you're talking about is that we've been clear all the way along that the debt service of 1.1 or 1.15 is the incremental debt service. In other words, once the debt is wrapped around our current debt and extended, then the incremental debt service, the amount that our debt service to the township goes up every year is at 1.1 to 1.15. So that's why we've always said that it's the incremental debt service, it's not the direct debt service on that.
Okay, this is all very confusing based on your website, especially with the information on a previous page as far as the existing debt service that we're paying down right now. Just trying to understand where all this money comes from to pay for all this. So I've heard and read a lot of
assumptions and projections in this project. And believe I'm not against the rec center. I think it has, something has to be done. It's obvious to anybody who's reasonable that something has to be done to it. We can't close the doors. That's not a question. Okay. It's a matter of how far do we go, how much money do we spend at a reasonable level. All right. So with an estimated current projected cost of $32 million minus a projected capital campaign amount of $5 million, we're down to $27 million. Okay. In additional debt service we have to pay over the years, the 20 years or whatever the term may be. Excuse me, am I too close to this? Okay. All right, so I'm wondering how, if we don't meet the capital campaign amount of $5 million, okay, it falls short by a couple million dollars, and also we don't get any of the grant money that's being applied for, okay, is it not reasonable to possibly consider, instead of tightening our belt in future years and not getting a new plow or a new truck, that we take the 50-meter pool off the table to get it back to a reasonable level? A 50-meter pool, by your literature on your website, is a 23% increase in cost over a 25-yard pool and the same facility. Am I understanding that correctly?
I don't know that it's 24. I have to calculate whether it's a percentage. It's a $4 million premium is what we figure.
Forgive me for not being a little more organized here, but...
That's a lot of pages to flip through.
I'm sorry?
That's a lot of pages to flip through.
It is. So, from page 9, it shows that it's actually a $6 million increase. From the 50-meter pool, 25-yard pool to the 50-meter pool.
Yeah, Tom, what happened was, and Greg Kousis is here, actually maybe I'll let you answer that question, but my understanding is that in the time period, there are other costs that were figured that took it up to $32 million, not just the 50-meter pool. We calculated the differential at $4 million, correct?
Yes, sir.
But there were several other things that happened in the meantime, and as you know, development, there's subsurface conditions, there's things that pop up, and so those extra costs popped up, and so I've taken note of that it looks like it's a $6 million increase, but through Greg's pricing, we've confirmed it's a $4 million increase.
Through Greg's projections?
Through his budget, yeah. But in other words, he's doing budget verifications along the way to make sure that we don't design a $40 million facility. We only learned that when we bid it. So well, he's doing budget verification.
Right, and I understand that, and obviously, you know, I've been contracting for 25 years, and
exactly.
I know about bidding and pricing objects, and yeah. And I'm worried about, as a taxpayer with this burden on my back partially, too, that we don't jump in with both feet before we possibly look at the actual cost. Is it not possible to have a company bid this before we make a final vote?
Well, he's basically bidding it along the way, so do you want to speak to
please.
Greg Kousis, Capital Construction Management. We've been hired as the owner's rep to assist through the process. So we have been doing estimate verifications as the design's been going along. The plan is to have the project go out to bid and come back to the board for authorization to award contracts with real numbers before any. And that's the ultimate decision once the bids have been received and you know what the total numbers are, then the board's going to have to make a decision to move forward or not.
When do you think we're going to have those numbers?
Right now the schedule projects that's February 26th. The Tuesday, February 26th is the date that we have on the schedule to come before you with them.
The bid date?
The bids will be due before the 26th.
I think the design schedule shows final plans in February, right?
No, the design schedule has us going out to bid in January, and the bid's coming in towards the end of February.
Thank you. If I may, I'm sorry to go longer than 3 minutes, but just a couple more comments. I understand that in a few weeks we'll be making a final vote. Now, on this final vote,
Can I correct you one second? There's more votes that will occur. So in other words, we'll be voting to move on to the construction grades, construction documents if we have to bid, but then we'll ultimately have to vote on the debt. We'll have to, so there'll be at least two more votes that will come later on next year. Or maybe let's start early next year.
All right, so and that's part of the thing. I think a lot of people are very confused about this. Yeah. A lot of people think this is a done deal. It's going in next year no matter what, and no matter what the cost. Okay, so if the bids come in and they're $10 million higher, all of the bids are $10 million higher than projected, okay, that's an exaggeration, obviously.
But it's not realistic. That
but that's too late then, isn't it? Or does the township supervisors have a right, an option to pull the plug on?
We certainly would have the option to pull the plug, yeah.
Yeah, at what level then? Because as we are aware, if you're in the industry at all, tariffs are killing costs. Just driving up 20-30%, and I really don't see them going down in the near future. Again, I'm in contracting, I did the same thing every day. If the projected costs don't come in at $32 million, $35 million, $37 million, where does the plug get pulled at? Where do you guys say, no, it's just unreasonable, or hasn't that been decided yet?
I think we're trying to keep it to the 32 million.
Well,
I
think the answer to your question is we would have to figure that out when the time comes. But one reason we brought on Greg early in the process is that he really does have a proven track record of hitting these things on big projects.
Well, I don't dispute that at all. Yeah. I'm just trying to.
But it's a great question because it's not only that, it's a great question for this project and any project, as you know.
Absolutely.
It's a classic problem where you design something far more expensive than what your budget is. And so we are doing, Greg is our insurance to say he has a proven track record of that not happening. Mm-hmm. And so that's.
Okay, I understand because typically I don't pull the trigger on a project until the bids are in and I accept them or go back to the drawing table and possibly pull out the 50 meter pool. Thank you.
Maybe you were going to clarify this, not maybe you can explain that, but there was a lot of discussion, Tom, about 25 yard, 50 meter.
I understand.
But there's a reason for doing the 50 meter over the 25 yard, despite the cost and the increase to do the 50 meter. It's a revenue producing body of water, and it's giving us, we're taking the water, some of the water that's outside and moving it inside, which is going to create more of a revenue source. Matt, what do you want to
understand? I understand, and I understand it can be a greater revenue creator. Have we run the numbers? Have you run the numbers? I haven't seen numbers anymore. How much additional revenue a 50-meter pool in comparison to a 25-yard pool will do as far as generating more revenue to justify $4 million plus the carrying costs?
Yeah.
Go
ahead.
And as part of the business plan and the operations analysis that was done several months back prior to the design moving to where we are now, there was analysis done, and it showed that the 12 meets potentially that we can generate revenue to substantially reduce the operating deficit overall of the facility. And that particular document's being updated again, and right now the schedule is to have that presented on the 25th of September.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. I look forward to seeing that. Will that also include the amount of money that is charged for a meet with a 50-meter pool?
Versus
a 25-yard pool. Thank you.
It will show the estimated cost for rental of the 50-meter. I don't know if the comparison will be done as part of this business plan because the direction has been to do the 50.
Wouldn't that be prudent?
Well, in September of last year, I think September, October, when that presentation was done, at that point, the difference was a 50-meter pool was renting out for approximately $18,000 per weekend. A 25-yard was renting out for approximately $3,500 per weekend.
Right.
And it's just because they're obviously 50-meter pools are more rare.
Okay, I understand that. I do understand that. So if it's $20,000 a weekend for a 50-meter pool and you do 12 events a year, $240,000 a year in revenue, and that's not the increased amount, that's the whole amount. Justifies $4 million plus carry costs?
That's just for the meets. That doesn't include additional times that water is able to be rented out, right, Matt?
Additional programming.
And
will that be a projection also in 2 weeks?
It'll all be in there. Yeah, 2 weeks.
Programming revenue.
Yeah. And keep in mind, too, Matt, correct me if I'm wrong, but there is a need. We have a huge shortage of water here, not just for me, but ongoing, right? I mean, we don't have enough water for our residents to swim laps a lot of times. Isn't that the case?
Yeah, I mean, currently, you mentioned and you're very familiar with the current facility, we have six lanes, basically September through May, from 2:30 in the afternoon until 7 in the evening, the swim team and club basically dominate that time where the residents have no availability of water, which is obviously a peak time for folks to be able to come in and utilize that. With the body of water that's being proposed as part of this project, there's nine lanes of 50 meter, which is long course, but there's 22 lanes width-wise of the 25. So theoretically, you can have two high schools practicing and still have a synchronized swimming or still have scuba diving or kayak lessons or snorkeling or a whole list of other programs that could also happen and also have lanes for the public to come in and swim. So obviously, and there's a bulkhead that you can kind of divide that pool up. So in terms of revenue generation, it's not just the meets, there's some potential for additional revenue where we're only renting six lanes right now. So, and Ken Ballard, who's the consultant that's looking at all this, he's plugging all that stuff into the operations analysis. So he'll be able to speak to that on the 25th as well.
All right, I look forward to seeing that analysis because I just, from my perspective, I can't see the amount of revenue being generated by the lanes supporting a $4 million increase plus carrying costs. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
I just wanted to ask, and I don't even know if this is really taken into consideration, because of the increase in the traffic in the area, now will we have to pay more in taxes for the upkeep of the roads, for the infrastructure and stuff like that? I don't, after the building is built. Does that make sense to everybody?
Yeah, more traffic.
Right? Yeah, more traffic. So the roads will be more wear and tear on the roads, and then will our taxes go up because we have to upkeep on the roads? And I mean, that's down the road, but.
Well, I guess my answer to that would be that what we haven't even talked about yet is sort of the economic development dollars that these meets would bring in. And so it will put more people in our restaurants and it will generate economic development dollars. And that, obviously some of these roads are township roads, some of them are state roads, but it's my feeling that the economic development dollars that are generated, the extra tax revenue would make up for that. But it's certainly, I mean, that's the thought process. I think it's a small increment on the roads, but I mean, I think that's the way I would answer that question.
And you know, I do want to just say one thing, and that is that, when the gentleman who was doing the presentation said that on repeated times, keeping the taxes down to an affordable level, that's really relative. And I think that a lot of people in the community really can't afford to be stretched that far. That's not just seniors, it's other people too. And like we said with the cocoa packs and everything, I think $32 million is a little, I mean, if we could pare that number down a little bit, it might be a much more palatable number for people to swallow. To understand, because it's just really, it's a lot of money, and if it goes into the budget, that could be, you know, if something goes wrong, what happens if, like halfway through, like there's a sinkhole underneath there, you know, I mean, they're all over the town, so that could just increase our budget. So thank you.
Hi, Brian Link, 230 West Arriba. All right, real quick, sad the PSM guys left, but I wanted to challenge his quote that we could not raise taxes. So the incremental debt, that's the increase on our debt service, right, the $1.15 million. But that's straight line over 20 years. I guess I was also confused. Is that correct?
I think it would be better if they were here to answer this question.
Okay. Well, just, and again, the 0.58 assumes $5 million. So the township hasn't really said what if we're short. And Susan, I'm not challenging the fundraising effort, but if we're short, you know, what would the worst case be? The 1.125 or 1.15 is like 6.5%. The township's, I think, annual expenditures is about 17.8 million. Jill, is that correct? I think that was last year. So that's 6.5%. And Supervisor Moyer pointed out there's a lot of good reasons to spend money for our township. So cutting out 6.5% is a big amount. So I think the PFM advisor said something like, it's possible that we wouldn't have to raise taxes at all. I don't think that's the reality. So I just want to point that out. Okay, so I'm not a lifelong Derry Township resident. I grew up in Lititz, PA. It's just in Lancaster County. It's a county down the road. The Lititz Rec Center, where I had my after-school program, which it was great, was built in 1987 for about $1.5 million. So with inflation, today's value, that's a $4 million facility. That pool, the 25-yard, I always forget, meters is inside, yards is outside, I think it's a 25-meter pool. That pool supports Manheim Central School District, Warwick School District, and the Five Star Swim Club, which I don't know how it stacks up against Hershey Aquatic, but it's a pretty good club. It also used to support the Lancaster Lebanon League meet. So they did well. They had lots of meets. And so that's $4 million in today's dollars. So I'm not, again, I'm with everyone else. I'm not against doing, you know, I don't think the no build is the solution. I think maybe less than what we're proposing. In the grant application to the state, I think there was one letter from a meet organizer, like mid-pen, something or other. There was nothing from PIAA. There's a letter of support from the Aquatics Club, but there's no commitments to 12 meets a year. So that's where I'm struggling to say that this is going to bring in $100,000 in meet fees. You know, maybe more time will allow us to get commitments, but the 12 is really a kind of out of the sky number.
It's really not.
And then, so,
Brian, let me just comment on that real quick. So I didn't grow up swimming. I don't know the swimming world. So what do we do when we don't know things? We trust people that do know things.
Yeah.
So Mike Gilbreck is somebody who runs the West Shore Y. He coaches the Carlisle's team. He manages meets all over the state. We've consulted with him, and actually we brought him into the business planning process so that we have an expert saying, this is how many meets will come here, and this will be the demand, and this is what you can charge. And on top of that, we've had ongoing consultation with Mike Seif, who is Director of Competition for Middle Atlantic Swimming, mm-hmm. a division of USA Swimming, who is responsible for, it's 170, 200 tournaments around the middle. So we are consulting with the people who will use this facility. We're not just saying we think we're going to get 12 meets. We're basically learning from them that we know we'll get 12 meets. So.
All right. Well, I guess until we have those commitments, and I think it's going to be hard to pull the IAA away. I think if a 50-meter pool is, or a 25-meter pool is running for $3,500, and there's a 50-meter pool for $18,000, it's going to be a hard business case to say, oh, hey, bring your meat here. The other thing, a 50-meter pool isn't, this isn't the first 50-meter pool in Pennsylvania. Bucknell has one. They currently host PIAAs. So we're going to have to steal that away from them.
Brian, and we may not even go for PIAAs.
And Franklin and Marshall.
Nobody even said we want PIAAs.
Franklin and Marshall, which is 30 miles away and doesn't have the hotel constraints that Lewisbury Town, Lewis, whatever, wherever Bucknell is, doesn't have the hotel constraints of that area. They have a 50-meter pool. So we're not, you know, we're not first to the market. That's the misconception. So I just want that out there. That's about it. So for now. All
right.
Thank you.
Good evening, Captain Ferguson, Quail Hollow Road. A couple things. I think the issue that Tommy brought up, I think, is good in that it highlights that I think the public doesn't really understand if they weren't involved in this process as it's been going along over the past couple of years. how we ended up with the 50-meter pool. The perception out there, and things I read, things I hear, is everybody kind of thinks it's just for the aquatic club team, but it's not. What was looked at in these meetings was the 10-lane pool for 25 yards, when it was realized that, as Matt had pointed out, that really doesn't do anything for the public. The public doesn't have any greater access to a 10-lane pool than they do with today's 6-lane pool. In addition, there's a lot of other aquatic programs that want to grow, and the 10-lane pool still doesn't allow for that growth as well. With the 50-meter pool, we take care of all of that. All the aquatics programs can get the time they want. The public can get in there. I would expect that they can get in there whenever they want, anytime during the day. In addition, the income that the 50-meter pool can give you, it allows you meets in the summer. The summer swimming is done 50 meters. In the winter, it's done 25 yards. So the 25-yard pool will only give you income during the winter, but during the summer, with a 50-meter pool, now you can also get income during the summer. So the public really doesn't get how we ended up with the 50-meter pool. So I think that would be important to really try to emphasize going forward here. The cost, I mean, that's legitimate. There's a difference in cost, but the analysis that we looked at, it kind of made it a no-brainer. When you look at the way it was projected and what it would cost to build each and what the potential was for income, it made it a no-brainer to build the facility with anything but the 50-meter pool, because it made it so much more affordable, I guess you could put it that way. So I think that's important that we keep that in mind, that we have to stress how we got to the 50-meter pool. And it's difficult to do that because this has been going on for years and there's been a number of public meetings. Then you put a lot of time into this and they only get little bits of here and there with the local papers put out. And so they really don't understand how we got to the 50-meter pool. But I do want to ask, and I've thrown these numbers out before, the PFM people had mentioned the 0.5 mils, and everything is going to be done to try to keep that tax increase as low as possible. But, you know, I'm wondering why we're not looking at the amusement tax. And I'm wondering why that's not part of the equation. Right now, I've thrown these numbers out there before. Right now, 85 cents per ticket, the township gets $1.5 million per year. So I really don't know why that's not part of the equation here. That would take care of a lot of responsibility in financing this project. And if it's a million, what are you saying, like 1.2 million, 1.3 million is your debt service. So another 85 cents increase in the amusement tax covers that. I don't know why that's not on the table. I really don't know why we're not discussing about the amusement tax. My understanding is when the county gives out grants, they look at Derry Township and they know we have an amusement tax, so we won't get all the grant money we possibly could because of that. Now, that's what I've been told. I don't know if there's any truth to that or not. I mean, you would know. So it kind of seems like we're killing ourselves both ways. We're not getting the grant money we possibly could. We have the ability of an amusement tax, but we're not taking advantage of it. The agreement put in place 20 years ago was a foolish contract that was entered into with the supervisors at that time and the school board as well. And there's nothing you can do about that at this point. It takes the three parties to agree to a tax increase. So even asking, you may not get the tax increase. But I think that, I mean, you have people in the township on fixed incomes. And this could be a huge knot in our taxes. And we were just hit with a 35% increase. So I think that, from my perspective, at least the ask should happen, and then it's not on you, it's not on them. If they don't want to agree to it for whatever reason, I mean, it's a measly amount of money It's not a big ask at all. It's not unreasonable, but it's a legitimate tax that by law we were allowed to ask for 10%. Whatever the arrangement is, why we got there, who knows, but that's where we are. But I think that at least the ask should happen. And I think that would go a long way. And if they agree to it, then that helps out a lot. But why that's not part of the discussion and why it's not part of the plan up here, I don't get it. I mean, it's not just this project. It's all the other projects that the township is going to be hit with as well. Our taxes may will go up because of this rec center project. But, yeah, there's other issues out there that need to be taken care of. So this amusement tax, it's not just for this, but the township should be taking advantage of this. That's all I have to say. Thank you.
Kevin, thanks for your comments. When PFM was giving their presentation, I was thinking about what Mr. Gamble said at every meeting, and I was thinking to myself, you know, that's something to put on their plate. So in other words, let PFM empower them to look at under every rock, see what we can do. So thanks for your comments.
Good enough. Thank you.
Is there anyone else who would like to address the Board of Supervisors this evening? Hearing none, the next item on the agenda is a motion to adjourn. I'll make that motion to adjourn. Mr. Rudolph, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, and this meeting is adjourned.